Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Oh, when you point, does that mean now?
Yeah, because I can't open up the episodes because I suck at this. But I do want to get something off of my chest because this has been... I want to confess something. And it's been a problem that I've been dealing with since I started talking. I say like a lot, and I really want to stop that. I'm getting a lot of comments about it. I understand. The problem is that when I get excited, I just say like. It just happens, and I want to stop that. So you need to call me out if I just get going, and I'm just like. I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. I need to have some self-control, and I need to work on this.
Welcome to Playing Around with Paige Renee, like version, like episode.
Like list.
Okay, so, that's mine. Everyone has them. Like is unfortunate. It's an unfortunate one to have because everyone can jump on that. Like.
Don't discriminate.
But don't beat yourself up. Mine's okay,
yours
so.
Yours is bad. Just kidding.
Pro Tour, yours
He's
is.
Like, that's unfortunate. And it's like, so is yours.
I'm said
sticking
it's
up for my girl.
I'm saying it's unfortunate that it's literally the word like. We all have tendencies to use words, overuse words.
I agree with that. I just know that when I get excited, that's when it happens. And so if I'm ranting about something or talking really fast or I get excited, it just comes out and I don't even notice it. But I started to see a couple people say, hey, you're saying like a lot. So I listened to the last episode in the first beginning of it. I was like, so like this happened and like that and like this and like that and like. And I was like, oh my God, I am so annoying.
I am
so annoying. But as soon as someone calls it out, obviously you're going to notice it a lot more. And so this is just, I'm letting everyone know that I'm working on it. Be patient during these difficult times for me. And we're going to work through it together.
These difficult times.
Meanwhile, coronavirus is happening and I'm stressing over saying like.
Right.
Which
right.
is, I think, what we should start with, you guys, because this podcast was supposed to be in Florida. And now we are.
We are currently in Scottsdale, Arizona, in my apartment,
which
doing
is so
the podcast.
Nice, by the way.
Yeah, yep. It's great
this
here.
This is a beautiful apartment.
Yeah, by the way, it's not an apartment.
No, this is a house.
It's a freaking townhouse.
Yeah.
It's a really nice, big townhouse, and everyone stared at us when we drove in because they were like, uh-oh, that car. Look at that car. Do you see that car? That car is 15 years old. There are some bad people in our neighborhood.
But then they saw the AirPods and they're like, oh, let him in.
He is okay. So we should have been at the Players finding producer Tori a PGA Tour player boyfriend.
Correct.
Unfortunately, everything has been canceled because of the coronavirus.
Coronavirus is single-handedly making me more single.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it should.
It's interesting.
It's a virus.
Yeah. So I flew out and it was Wednesday night. at that time, everything was being canceled. I think that obviously this has been in the news for a while. Everyone has been either kind of starting to panic about it, or they don't really believe that it's real. And it's always kind of been this back and forth. But Wednesday night, shit hit the fan. I mean, the NBA was canceled. The season was canceled.
Spring
training was postponed.
All NCAA tournament was Pac-12.
Either canceled or postponed. And then we were waiting there, and the PGA Tour was like, we're just not going to mention anything.
Yeah.
And it was really stressful. And I can't even imagine, because I was supposed to do an event the next day, a meet and greet with one of my partners. And I didn't know if I was going to go or what was going to happen. So I can't even imagine being a player in that situation, or even a fan, not knowing. The fact that they waited so long to make a decision, and for it to be, in my opinion, the wrong decision, was unbelievable.
Wow, that was a little loud. Why do you think it was the wrong decision? What was wrong about the decision?
If Tom Hanks has coronavirus, the world stops. You cancel everything. That's just how it goes. We protect him at all cost.
Buzz, I got the virus.
You have to.
Woody gets the virus, it shuts down.
Okay. They either had to make the decision and stick with it, or make it earlier. Like, the way that they handled it, I just don't think was right. So we were in Florida, obviously, and it was at that time like 11:30 at night, and I woke up the next morning not knowing what was going on. And so they made a decision to play with fans out there, which is the wrong decision. If you're going to play, I think they should have played without fans. People are saying that it's an outdoor venue, which makes it better, but you don't realize how close you are with each other out on the golf course. So when fans are there, you're closer than you would be if you're sitting in seats in a stadium. And not only that, at a stadium, you have bathrooms with sinks with soap. At a golf course, you don't have that.
You have the porta potties.
You have porta potties. Yeah. So you don't even have soap there for any of the people. Also, as we know, golf skews a little bit older. So you have a lot of older people out there. It was unsafe, I think, and unnecessary. Even if you don't think that this is a real problem, or if you are one of those people that just thinks it's not a big deal. So right. I see a lot of people who think it's just not that big of a deal.
Like Pro Tour.
I'm the youngest of four kids. Literally, I'm like, my mom served half my food off the ground. I don't know germs. I'm like, if it happens, it happens. It's a cold.
Told you. Okay, anyway, continue.
So they played the first round with fans, and then they decided that they were just going to cancel the whole tournament.
What does Hideki shoot that day?
62 or 63?
63. Yeah, 63. Yeah, agreed. I think you're right. I mean, they got stuck in the middle, and that's always the ugliest place, you know? Like, you could have either said, okay, screw it, we're going to do it, we're going to go through with it, you know, because we started it, or like you said, NBA, cut it. You cut it when the NBA cuts it.
The wishy-washy, like, we're going to do this, then they make a decision, and then they retract on that and then make another decision. It just was wrong.
So how was the airport in Florida?
It was, I would say, less busy than usual, but it was still busy. There's still a lot of people out and around. I didn't really see much of a difference. I swear, if I see one more person not cover their mouth when they cough or sneeze, I will throat punch them. I hate that.
Did I just do it?
No, you covered.
But I also just was clearing my throat.
That's different.
Is it different?
No, it's like when you're like hacking up a lung and they're just, you know, like when little kids, when they walk out and they're like, when older people do that, it drives me insane. Insane.
Or the hand cough, right? You know Larry David? You know who Kirby
is?
The hand cough.
Can we all go through on how each one of us sneeze and not overthinking it? What's your go-to way to sneeze?
I turn my head and sneeze into my arm.
You're an elbow.
I'm an, like, yeah.
What are you?
So I just swapped. I just changed. Okay. My seven-year-old showed me the way now I cough and sneeze.
Well, what was your original and then what's the new way?
So I usually would sneeze into my hands.
Are you kidding?
And then grab a towel.
Are you a 3-year-old?
I mean, a napkin. Yeah,
are
I was.
You a 3-year-old?
Yeah, like because when I sneeze, I rarely ever sneeze, so it just comes out of nowhere. So I'm never ready.
Is nobody else just disgusted by that?
It was disgusting.
I am not shocked anymore because I feel like guys don't even wash their hands. They don't even know what good hygiene is. So no, I'm not shocked by that.
That's true. Okay, what's the new
But
way?
I do know that that's bad hygiene. What's I don't shake anyone's way? Hand. So the new way, my 7-year-old showed me. He's like, Dad, you just dab cough.
So now it's into the elbow.
Yeah.
So I'm
now
the,
it's into elbow.
I'm this like I pull my shirt over my head and then or not over my head but over my mouth.
I don't get why win I'm a single. Date with Pro Tour.
I don't get why I'm single. No, you put it over your mouth and then you sneeze because then it's like
in your shirt.
It's like on you.
Wait
but
a
it's
second.
Like your germ, so it's less weird.
Okay, you guys. So hygiene wise, none of these things are good.
Okay, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm judging you a little bit for your guys' elbows because. Look how much air is underneath you.
You're sneezing
let
into fabric.
The germs go through.
You're sneezing yeah, into... It's going right through your shirt. It's going right through your shirt.
I'm not like sneezing underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it's really awkward, though, when you do have to cough or sneeze now, and you're just like...
sorry.
I don't have it. We were in Whole Foods yesterday, and I coughed, and I was like... I have corona, and the lady behind me looked back and gave me the dirtiest
she's
look,
like,
and she's
not.
Like, get out of here. I was like, I'm joking.
I know, the thing is, like, and I want to, like, there's jokes out there. There's so many jokes out there, but people are like, you have to be more sensitive. Like, Pro Tour, you have to be more sensitive, right? Because people
you
die.
It is. People are unhealthy, and it has affected a part of our population.
So has the flu every year, single year.
I have a question.
But it's not a virus.
I'm seeing a lot of people.
I mean, it is
talk about that. So, yeah. You see a lot of public figures posting data or stats about the coronavirus, and they're saying the flu has killed this many people, cancer has killed this many people, and they go on. Do you think that is positive or negative?
I think it's usually for people to have some perspective. I actually respond to the tone of those kind of posts and those kind of proclamations more than those stats. I like the stats. I think like you can get whipped up in a frenzy so quick when they start getting, I mean, you went to Whole Foods, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a shit show, right?
It actually wasn't.
Okay. Well,
it wasn't that bad, but I've seen the videos on social media of people like, sorry, no likes allowed in this one. They are getting in fist fights over toilet paper.
Right.
Why is toilet paper such a hot commodity?
Right.
You guys, I spent $20 for an Amazon package for toilet paper for 4 rolls. Because that's the
ridiculous.
Only place I can get it.
Why do people need that much toilet paper?
No, they're hoarding. Everyone's.
But
see,
why
that's
is
it
toilet paper, though?
Because then if you're landlocked.
Because if you're stuck
in
your
inside,
house,
you're going to have things to do.
Just shower off.
I agree.
I think there's more important things out there than toilet paper.
Now they're having to ration where you're only allowed to like walk out of the store with like one roll
saw like five package. Ladies walk out with just packed with toilet paper. Just toilet paper.
Yeah. My wife and I had this conversation. We said, well, wait a second. How much toilet paper does our family go through in a week? Like how much do we even really need? Because she went to the store just on a regular day.
Right.
She calls and she says, oh, babe, it's a nightmare. There's no food.
No, there's nothing.
There's no toilet paper. There's no wipes. There's no Clorox. There's no nothing. All of those things are gone. And she was like, it's like starting to affect me. She's starting to buy into this frenzy.
Because everyone else is panicking. Right, so right. It makes you feel like you're not prepared because you're not buying 6 months worth of toilet paper.
Right.
And I think it's just the fear of the unknown.
I agree.
There's so much news out there and it can go so many different ways where it's like you read one thing and 50 million people are going to die and half of our, you know, world is going to be different. And everything's going to change. And then you read something else and it's like, well, the flu is worse and you're going to be okay. And this shall pass. And you read something else. It's like, you're going to die. And then something else, you're fine. So it's, all of the mixed information out there is really difficult to sort through and know, like, is this actually serious? What do I need to do? How do I need to prepare for this? And I don't know. And I think that's what's freaking me out about it. And for me, it's less about getting it. It's giving it to my parents. And I right. think that's the responsibility that all of us have. It's not just about us. It's about being not selfish. And if you are feeling sick, stay home. And I think that's what people are trying to say. And that, that message is being lost in this frenzy of panic.
There sure. are, so, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like I was going to say, there are like organizations right now that are offering up shopping lists for the elderly people who can't go out in the public right now and the risk of getting it. So you can like go and volunteer to shop for them, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I just my best friend was doing that on the way this morning. So, but that brings you back to what you were asking. Your question was, what do you think of people putting that out? So what you're kind of saying is that you're seeing it as both reassuring and creating
part
a problem.
Of me thinks that it's great to. Yeah, reassure people that you don't need to panic to the fact that the world's going to end tomorrow. But at the same time, I think it does downplay the severity of what could possibly happen. And I think people are losing that message of, if you do go out, you're going to infect other people. And we don't want that, because there's nothing right now that you can do about it. With the flu, there's so many things that it can help you.
Right.
With this, there's not. And I don't want to, it's really hard to speak about this because I am not fully educated on it. And I don't want to be like one of those people. I feel like as a public figure, you have a lot of responsibility, and it's almost better to not say something than to speak out on something that you aren't fully educated on.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's this, all of this news that's out there, because people think that their opinion matters more than someone else's, an expert, when we really just need to be listening to a handful of people that are experts in this field.
Sure, sure. And I, you know, it's funny, like, I don't know if you saw this circling around on Twitter, but there's a map that kind of explains, it's like a bell curve.
Yeah.
And it explains, it's what a pandemic is.
Pandemic.
Yeah. And why you need to quarantine, in that it just, as long as you stay within the facilities that can treat the public, that's why you're quarantined. You're not quarantined necessarily because it's so bad to get it. It's that you need to stay under the level that you can all get care.
So it can stay controlled, right, and not get out of hand.
That's, yeah. So it's kind of funny because that made me feel good too. It's like, and like you said, I don't want to get my parents sick. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get my mom sick. We're canceling Easter. We have an Easter golf tournament. We've been doing it for 30 years. 30 years. We're not going to do it now. And I'm so bummed. But we have grandkids and we have grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being here though, and living in LA, I'm like, I'm going to run to the market here and stock up your car with some toilet paper, because literally in LA, I can't find it. And this brings me to my next thought. So originally, yesterday morning, I booked a flight for two people to Arizona. Shortly after, I was told to cancel one of the flights. You could guess who took the flight and who drove. So Josh here decided he wants to bail on coronavirus and thinks driving was better. How was the drive for you here?
100% greatest call I've ever made.
Really?
5.5 hours with a total shutdown on the 10, mm-hmm, right outside of, I don't know.
The 101?
Yeah, right outside there. Completely detoured off. Still 5.5 hour drive. So that probably, I lost maybe, 2 hours from flying. I love driving. I get to like get in my own little space. There was no cell service for two of those hours, so I can't listen to anything. I just loved it. And I think airports are the worst place on earth.
They are the worst. It's absolute worst. Not only just because there's just a ton of people in the disgustingness of all the germs. Have you ever been behind someone in TSA and they don't know what they're doing? And they just take 20 minutes and they keep asking the person, can I get my belt on? Where do I put my shoes? And the guy's yelling for 20 minutes, take your shoes off, take your belt off, do this, do that. And then they're not listening. And the lady finally goes up, or the guy goes up, and they ask a billion questions. I have to take my liquids out? Is this bottle of water okay? Can I do this? And then they have 20 trays out that they go all the way through and they just leave them. Why do people leave their trays there? Just put your tray. Oh, this drives me insane. Put your tray away. Put it away.
Totally
just
agree.
Stack it up and put it to the side. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do.
I love the airport.
Oh my God.
Or when people rush to get onto the plane, we have a, unless it's like Southwest, we have assigned seats. Why are you rushing to get on the plane?
Right. And pushing people.
Or when it lands and people just stand up.
Yeah.
Why do you need to stand up?
Yep.
Why do you need to push your way out?
Maybe they need to stretch their legs, Paige.
Okay. No. So
you are a stander upper. Yeah,
pro tours like that person.
No, I'm not.
Totally.
I'm really judging not. You.
Totally. No, but I always try to put my feet in other shoes. Is that the same?
That's really weird. You put your feet in other people's shoes?
Here, what's the saying for when you like try to you put your feet in other shoes?
Put yourself in
other. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or walk a mile in someone's shoes. I mean, we got a few to pick from.
You're right. Anything with shoes, you know, you just try to see where they're all coming from. But it makes me laugh that Josh says that he meditated on this car ride.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I hopped in the car and he was like, bleep, and I'm just gonna bleep for the podcast so our editors don't have to insert one. Ah, bleep, I missed the turn. Ah, bleep. And I'm like, did you just say you meditated? Because I do not feel that at all.
Yeah, totally.
We also had a group text going on and these were constant play-by-plays. My estimated time of arrival went from 11:04 up to 11:16 in 1 minute. Hopefully things will clear up. Then we got,
you're such a little,
I'm in gridlock, 30 miles out, so sorry, 5 lays down, 2 now, 1 more to go. Woof.
Do you text like the old people text with their pointer finger?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, with my thumb.
Siri, send a text. 11 semicolon 03 !! Send. Then his last one was crisis averted. 11:13 arrival using car seat. I was confused by that.
Wait, what? Oh yeah, because you guys were talking about toilet paper.
You're using the car seat?
Yeah, I said, don't worry about it. Crisis, don't worry about it. I'm just, you're going to use my car seat.
It's just not funny. So we're just going to move on from that.
You just totally blew that out of context. Now, I don't know. It looks like
crisis averted? How can I even blow that out of context?
Crisis averted means I got off the freeway and got back on.
But like, wasn't there
I averted the crisis.
A crisis is the
The crisis would have
been. The coronavirus.
I'm merging lanes. Coronavirus.
Wait, did you see on Twitter they had a poll and it said 33% of Americans believe that the coronavirus is from drinking Corona beer.
No, they've lost
like a ton of money. Their stock markets are really low because they genuinely believe it's Corona.
I do not believe.
My favorite thing is when people call it the Bud Light instead of the just pick any type of beer. I love that. I think that's the funniest thing.
Screwed around and got the Tecate.
Sorry guys, I got the Bud Light.
Okay, wait, I gotta go back to one thing because I just want to finish it up. First of all, Pro Tour, you're totally narking on me and I don't like it.
Well, just don't be so dramatic next
but
time.
Back to airports. I did over 200 days a year on the road for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I know everything about airports. I've been to every airport. They bring out the absolute worst in people. The best, your favorite person in the world in an airport is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, so it's not just the germs. It's not just the rushing. It's all me first. And it's a group of people stuck indoors, me firsting, with deadlines to meet. So I don't mind flying at all. I don't even mind planes. I hate airports.
Or when people show up like 30 minutes before their flight and they're trying to get through security.
Yeah.
They're like, let me through. I'm like, you could have showed up earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with that because I feel like I'm a very kind person, but you get me in an airport and I am the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I will not let you go through. If you make me stack your bins, I'm going to call you out on it and I'm going to give you the dirtiest look. I'm going to be so sassy because I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's just so disrespectful, not only to the people behind you, but to the people who are working there too. They have the worst job in all of America.
Yep.
And you don't say thank you to them and then you leave your stuff there. What are you?
And the food sucks and it's expensive. I'm telling you, driving to Phoenix was the best call ever.
Anytime we can drive anywhere, we drive.
Absolutely.
Instead of flying.
And you stay away from the corona.
I hate airports. I could vent about airports all day.
I know. I don't think I could ever tell you guys who I am at the airport because I'm the person that arrives like 20 minutes before my plane's boarding. And
Yeah, and you brought us the Tecate. I'm sure of it. Burbank Airport or LAX?
Burbank. Okay, some good.
A little better. A little better.
We're intimate. We're all friends. Anyways, I think that we should get somebody else to talk about this with us who experienced something similar with us. Do you want to tease who it is?
Yeah, so we have Matt Janella coming up next. He is not self-proclaimed, but he is the coolest guy in golf. I love him. I love his family. And he's up next.
He has got the best job in the world.
Yes. He travels around everywhere. And I'm good friends with his wife, Katie. So I know that he just does buddy trips every single weekend. But he travels around. He has the coolest job. And he's just one of the best guys ever.
Can't wait.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so we are back now and we have Matt Janella. Matt, I teased you before and I said you're the coolest guy in golf. You have the coolest job. I love following you on Twitter and you're one of my absolute favorites in the industry. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Wow. Well, that means a lot. Obviously, gotten to know you now the last couple years, and certainly my wife has gotten to know you as well, you know, more so than I have. But as I say to everybody, the more you get to know you, the more there's more to like. And so I've enjoyed the process, and we spent a little time together at the merch show, obviously, in January, and found it fascinating how open and honest and revealing you were about your life and what you deal with on a daily basis. So cool to be on your show with you guys today.
Oh, thank you so much. So crazy times right now with the coronavirus and everything being canceled. How do you feel about it? And especially, how do you think the PGA Tour handled the players?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been consumed by this whole thing. It's certainly being my beat being travel and the idea of trying to inform and inspire people about the world we live in and trying to get them, you know, in their cars or in airplanes and get to see the world around us. it's definitely a weird time right now. At one night this week, I literally stayed up all night just consumed by the news and information and reading, and one thing led to the next. And I think there was layers of anxiety of trying to just figure out, you know, not only what to do sort of professionally, but what to do personally. And for my own family within my own community, I think everything just kept getting, you know, like sort of hyper focused on what's happening in our immediate surroundings. And so to go to then bring this out to the PGA Tour and Jay Monahan and the Players Championship and you know, the world of sports and players and caddies and fans, I think it's easy, very easy to second guess or hindsight almost any situation, all the way up to, you know, where we are as a country and where we are in just society in general, really. And I'm hesitant to say, I can't believe Jay Monahan didn't, you know, cancel the Players earlier. I can't believe, you know, that they played one round of tournament action. It seemed silly to me that it was going on. It seemed odd. It seemed off that, you know, golf was basically the only sport at that time that was proceeding business as usual when, when NBA canceled and suspended the season. And I thought, okay, this makes no sense that guys are out on the golf course right now. So, look, eventually he got to the right decision, and you know, I got to give him credit for that. Would it have been better a day earlier? You know, even just for the sake of getting players and caddies and encouraging fans to get back home. You know, like, I think, you know, if you read anything about Italy and sort of they had a bit of a laissez-faire approach and sort of treated it like the flu, and now the whole country's on lockdown. I think that needed to be a bit of our guide earlier on. You know, they were there sort of saying, don't do what we did. And so I think we need to not do what they did. And doing what they did was just sort of treat it like the flu. It's not what it is. And now I think just going around in town and seeing shopping centers, and I have such emotion for the elderly, you know, people that are out shopping around, who, you know, trying to get supplies. They shouldn't even be in that situation. They shouldn't even be out shopping. You know, they really can't afford to catch this virus, knowing what we know now. So I don't know. It's just overwhelming on a lot of levels.
Yeah. And I think with the PGA Tour, the thing that I disliked, that it looked like their focus was more about making money instead of the well-being of the players and all the spectators who are there. And I mean, you travel all the time, and I mean, that's what you do for work, is traveling to play all these different golf courses. How is this going to impact you moving forward?
Well, right now I'm in the process of building out an independent, you know, production company, all based around travel. And in some sense, it's not really the, you know, we're still in March. It's not really the time to be, you know, sort of the places like Pinehurst or Myrtle Beach or Bandon Dunes or, you know, Pebble Beach. Everybody is sort of in a shoulder season scenario right now. Forest Dunes in Michigan is going to open up a new short course in June. The new Sheep Ranch at Bandon Dunes opening up in June. Right now, what's kind of a wait and see basis. You know, I've got trips planned to San Diego in April and Bandon Dunes at the end of May, and then Forest Dunes at the first part of June. I just wonder, is it going to happen? And I think we got to take one step at a time. I hope to be in Ireland in July, and maybe I'm being totally naive, but I do think that if we take the necessary steps, that it seems to me that we're taking now to, you know, sort of hunker down for 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, stop going to schools, stop going to churches, stop going on trips, stop congregating at concerts and sporting events, which we're not going to be doing right now. I do think that's going to be a system that helps. More people getting tested, more time, you know, more time is going to be a good thing. You know, I guess we sort of wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows. It was kind of sad to obviously hear that the Masters was going to be postponed. I know everyone looks forward to that every year. Changing things up a little bit, one thing that I've always really admired about you is how outspoken you are about changes in golf, and you're very progressive with your thinking. How do you think, and I think we share a lot of the same views as well about golf, but how do you think we can make golf better and more inclusive?
Well, I think we're making great strides. Honestly, I do think there is a small sort of slice of the game that resists any change just for the sake of resisting change. But I think if you've looked at the last 10 or 15 years and the emergence of things like Topgolf with this kind of celebration of short golf, short courses, with the kind of turn to how can we help municipal golf along to make sure that it stays and all that comes with that. So breaking down some of the barriers, you know, we've said for a long time now, golf is too hard, takes too long, and it's too expensive. So the response to all of that is things like Topgolf, where you can rock up in any outfit. You don't have to own clubs. You can, no one's judging anybody. It's fun. There's a social atmosphere. You know, I remember going to Four Morning Drive probably 7 years ago to a Topgolf in Houston. And in the midst of all the, these are the problems with the game. It takes too long, for example. And yet at Topgolf, walking out of the place, having been there all day, walking out of the place at 11 o'clock at night, and people are still coming in. People were waiting 4 hours for a stall. And I said to myself at that point, it's clearly not an issue that golf takes too long. Because if someone's willing to wait 4 hours just to get a stall to hit a few balls, that's not the problem. The problem is the experience of what someone's having if they're on a course for 4 or 5 hours. Is golf didn't have a time issue. It had an experience issue. It wasn't feeling like this is fun. It wasn't feeling for the people, for the consumer, to feeling like they were, you know, that they were welcome. It did matter, you know, what you were wearing. It did matter, you know, there was just too many rules that sort of pushed people away. And I think, you know, what Tiger did was brought a lot of people to the game. And I think the game of golf wasn't prepared for that tsunami of interest. In fact, we kicked people away. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, we don't want your type around here. You got to be like this. You got to look like this. You got to do this. And you got to say this. And we pushed a lot of people away. And I think now we are so much better positioned with a lot of Grow the Game initiatives like Youth on Course. First Tee is now over 22, 23 years old now. PGA Junior Leagues. Augusta National Women's Amateur is in effect. Drive, chip, and putt is always a little weird to me. I do think it has, you know, it has a good, you know, sort of at the base of it, it makes sense. Like, I think that's cool that kids can go and hit putts on the 18th green. But I do think I've seen too many little league parents getting way too sort of involved, yes, in that process, trying to get a ticket to Augusta National. So I pause at an initiative like that and actually think that maybe that thing has run its course at some point. I think we got to move on from DCP and look at it like we've got other better, sort of healthier initiatives going on. But I think, Paige, like, you know, I give you a lot of credit. I think there's a lot of people out there. I think social media has been, you know, it can be, there's a lot of negatives to social media, but generally for the world of golf, the celebration of places and value and things like the Friday Skins and Goat Hill Park. And, you know, all of that is just, it's a lot. There's a lot of goodness here, you know, and that's part of my frustration with all the negativity is like, at some point, can't we just sit back and celebrate the successes of the game? Cause there's a lot of them. Like, why do we always have to find something like, oh, roll it back, let's take distance away. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, at some point, just celebrate the game. These guys are amazing at what they do. I think there's amazing Grow the Game initiatives. I think the game has some momentum and is making some progress. So I'm always there to try to celebrate the successes and the things that are the people, places, and things that are doing it right. And I kind of try to ignore the what's going on that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think sometimes I get a lot of comments of people saying, well, if you hate golf so much, then why do you play it? And I'm not saying these negative things because I dislike golf. I'm saying it because I want more people to get into the game, and I feel like right. they don't feel welcomed. For a real change to actually happen, because I feel like a lot of us, especially in social media, want these changes, and it's progressing in a really positive way, but sometimes I don't think it is. Do you think the people at the top are going to have to change the way that they think for it to actually change? Or do you think that if we all work together, that we can make the positive changes ourselves?
Well, again, I think it, the people at the top, you know, that's general. And I, you know, if you were to give me specifics as to sort of who they are, I, you know, I think it's going to change whether the people at the top want it to or not. It's just that, you know, with distribution being what it is and where we are in sort of the state of this new age of media, you know, I think if you're doing something right, if you're doing it for the good of the game, if you're making smart decisions, you know, a guy like Seth Waugh in charge of PGA of America, you know, Seth Waugh is a successful guy. He's sort of in the bloodstream of the game. He's surrounded by a lot of smart people. He's a leader. He listens. I like that. You know, I Pete Bevacqua, you know, was in charge of PGA of America. He has spent time at the USGA. He now involved in NBC Sports. Like, he's a smart guy. I like him, you know, where he's at. Fred Ridley, I've only heard very good things about him, you know, his love of the game, his passion for what matters. I think, you know, for him to be in charge at Augusta National, that's a very good thing. I think the USGA continues to sort of not be able to get out of their own way. I think they're totally lost. I think they're it's like watching a dog chase his tail. It's like, what? At some point, that dog's got to realize that is his tail, right? Like, does he not see that? You know, I just, you know, the USGA to me is on the verge of irrelevancy. If it's not irrelevant already, to be honest with you, it's kind of an amazing thing, and I feel like we've been watching this for years now.
Why do you think the USGA is irrelevant right now?
Just because they at every moment in which they seem to have opportunities to sort of do the right thing, they do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And you know, whether it's sort of monitoring or governing equipment, which they sort of the ship has sailed on, that seems to me that they're decades late on that. You know, they sort of, even in their attempt to sort of simplify the rules, it caused more confusion than anything else. Look at the run of setups for the US Open. It's like they have one big event to run every year, and they just continue to make mistakes, whether it be setup or rulings out there on the golf course. And, you know, it's a bummer, right? I mean, for anybody who cares about the game, you know, you have this thing called the governing body of golf, and they just continue to sort of, literally shoot themselves in the foot, again and again. I'm just on the verge of just basically giving up on them. Sad state of affairs.
And I think as an outsider looking in, you look at the USGA and it almost looks like they're running golf. I mean, they control the rules, they control everything. Do you think they need to get just fresh, young eyes in there to change it? Or do you think they just should get rid of it altogether? How do you make that change? I mean, it's so hard because it's been around forever, and like, that's just the way it is. And we just have to accept everything that they do, and they can decide pretty much the fate of golf. And we're just here to sit there and be like, okay, I guess we're dropping from our knees now. And I guess we're leaving the pin in. And they feel like they're not taking our opinions into play or like what we have to say there at all.
I almost feel like they should just sort of stick to running the events that they run, you know, and do what they want to do as a sort of broad-based governing body of golf. I really don't, they don't really impact much of my life on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I do play with 14 clubs. I do, you know, have what I, you know, think is conforming equipment, but, you know, I really don't play the USGA, you know, on any given day. We don't play rattle bottom. The idea of like, oh, should we bifurcate golf or not? Like the idea that we're not bifurcated already, the idea that we're not playing a different game than the elite level, than the elitist, you know, the most elite amateurs or pros is just absurd, because we, you know, if you play in any kind of pro-am and you've played at a high level, you know, it's just different. It's just different. It's a different game. And for us to go out and play Friday skins with eightsomes and nobody putts for more than a birdie. And if you, you know, we don't really play out of bounds. We play lateral hazard and, you know, pins are in and pins are out and all the things that are going, but to be, you know, it's just not, you know, it's golf, but we just don't need the USGA to have that kind of golf. I actually, you know, I've spent a lot of time with Mike Davis. I've interviewed him multiple times. I do think he knows the game. I think he cares about the game. I think he's a smart guy. I think he, you know, earned the position that he got. But it's just confusing to me. I don't know how or why. I think Jason Gore coming in and being sort of this player rep. I like Jason Gore. I've had good conversations with him. I think he gets it. I said they're on the verge. I hope that they can somehow figure out. Like, I think they need to get back to just, you know, setting up really hard open U.S. Open championships for both men and women. Just make, you know, own their reputation and just, you know, try to get on a roll. It's like, you know, it's like in the game of golf when you start making a lot of bogeys. It's hard to sort of stop that bogey train, right? The USGA is on a massive bogey train. If they can just string together a few pars and then maybe make a birdie, you know, and try to get the back nine, you know, going, like, just like get to the 10th hole and start a fresh nine. Like, I think that's kind of what they need.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And I think we can all make small little changes too to help grow the game. You've traveled around the world and you've played some of the best golf courses. And I was going to ask you, what's the best buddies trip? And I kind of pictured what you're going to say, maybe a Bandon or a Pinehurst. And a lot of these people, they can't do that. And even sometimes when I say my favorite golf course, I'll say Cypress or Shadow Creek, and that's not accessible to these people. So what are some of your favorite public golf courses that anyone can go to?
I mean, you know, on my top 50 list, you know, yes, number one is Pebble Beach, and number two is Bethpage Black, actually Pacific Dunes, Abandoned Dunes. Number three is Pinehurst, number two, and number four, I believe, is Bethpage Black. So Bethpage Black is a really cool experience in New York that is affordable, even if you're from out of state. And then Forest Dunes in Michigan is a place that I've always loved, that's always been in my top 10, that's great value. And they've now added the reversible routing, the loop by Tom Doak, and they're now adding a short course, a par three course that's built by the same two guys who redid Winter Park 9, Keith Reb and Riley Jones. And that's going to be really cool. And that's going to be a great value destination play for a lot of buddies trips. And it's down the street, down the road from Arcadia Bluffs, which now has another 18 hole course. So Michigan is a hub of great public golf, great value on a lot of levels, all the way up to, you know, the Upper Peninsula. So Michigan is a place that I promote on a regular basis. Turning Stone in upstate New York, multiple golf courses, casino, live music, you know, indoor golf facility in case you catch some bad weather, multiple food options. That to me is a bit of a hidden gem. Everybody talks about Myrtle Beach, and that's no secret. And anywhere up and down the Grand Strand, you're going to have a ton of great value and options. And, you know, if you book a buddy's trip, almost all buddy's trips that I've been covering over the last 13 years at some point has stopped through or started at Myrtle Beach because of the value play. So you get a younger generation that sort of starts a buddy's trip at Myrtle and eventually moves on and gets to Pinehurst level. I think even places like San Diego, don't sleep on San Diego. It's loaded with really great value public golf, and you got great weather, and you have a city like San Diego. So I tell people, you know, if you put Balboa Park and Goat Hill Park and Coronado on your list, just those three public golf courses in San Diego, and then you also build it, you add, throw in Torrey Pines, north or south or both. I mean, you've got an amazing buddies trip to one of the best cities in America. You have fresh food and all the off course activity options, you know, especially if you go during Del Mar Racetrack, which is an amazing day. So, you know, this is a buyer's market out here for buddies trips. I go on my buddies trip to Bandon Dunes, and we're going in October this year. Honestly, if you go off season Bandon Dunes, you can actually get real good value. And not enough people actually know that. They immediately think Bandon Dunes, one of the best in the country. I can't afford it. Actually, you can. You know, you can play 36 holes at Bandon Dunes in their off season for $200. 36 holes, and you're going to play two of the best golf courses in the country. So, I think you just got to be smart and savvy, and take a look around. And I'm answering those questions on a regular basis on Twitter and Instagram. I mean, almost every day I'm answering at least one, two, three questions from somebody saying, "Where should we go next? Here's my situation. Where do we go?
Where can they follow you?"
Matt Ginella on Twitter, MattGinella, and then Matt_Ginella on Instagram.
Hey, Matt, I love what you said about San Diego. I'm an LA boy, and I love Coronado, and obviously love Torrey as well. I have another question. You have the best job. Everyone always tells you that. I'm so friggin' jealous. but I do have a question. Where can you give me an example of where? Because you like to cover the town, the food, the nightlife, the stuff, the surrounding area from the golf as well. Where in America was the biggest disparity between the golf and like the food/town? Like the golf course was amazing, but it was I don't know, you got coronavirus somewhere or vice versa, like an amazing town with crap golf. Like where can you think of with that disparity?
That's, you know, one thing I will say is that, you know, one of the coolest things about this job, a lot of people say, oh, you got the greatest job because you travel and you play golf and you get to, and yes, I always say which is amazing, right? At the base of it, yes, I get it. Can't refute that. And the thing that I think it's great for me, not because of just the courses I get to play, but it is because of the places I get to see and the people I get to meet, you know. And Big Cedar Lodge in Branson, Missouri, right? Not a lot of people who are targeting like, oh, I'm going to the Ozarks. I'm going to Branson, Missouri for my upcoming trip. Right. I mean, that's just it's not on high on anybody's, you know, list, except for if you go and you show up there and you're like, what is this? This is in the United States of America. This, you know, in the Ozarks, Table Rock Lake, a Big Cedar Lodge, Johnny Morris, who, you know, founded Bass Pro Shops, has since bought Cabela's, and he's like we call him the Walt Disney of the outdoors. And what he's built there, like nobody goes to Branson, Missouri, except for if you go and if you hunker down at Big Cedar Lodge and you see what he's built there and the outdoor activities, like his whole basis is like, I want to get kids off cell phones, off devices. I want families to hang out with each other. I want to get them, you know, he had a sinkhole that happened right near the top of the rock. He turned it into like an attraction. He continues to build down and make it into like this spectacle where people come from all over the world to see now. He has a Jack Nicklaus short course, a Gary Player par three course, you know, Nicklaus and Gary Player two par three courses, which might be the two best courses those guys designed, right? It's pretty amazing. They're fantastic. And then you have a Tom Fazio and now a Cort Crenshaw, and Tiger and Bo Welling are building another course. So, I mean, and my wife and I ended up getting married there. because, you know, that's how crazy I remember dating Katie and calling her, going like, well, you know, if we ever get married, I think we should get married in this chapel overlooking Table Rock Lake at Big Cedar Lodge in Branson, Missouri. And it was like a record scratch. It was like, what? Where? What are we doing? And I was like, no, you got to trust me on this one. And, you know, I mean, we end up being on Say Yes to the Dress, and the production crew came there. We had a production crew of 20 people. They were flying drones. They were looking at us like, what is this place? Like, I had no idea. And I send a lot of people there, and everybody has the same response. So that to me is like one of the most, and again, Turning Stone, upstate New York, same kind of a thing. There's been so, and Forest Dunes in Michigan, so many little discoveries. Central Oregon, by the way, everybody goes to Bandon. If you don't go to Central Oregon in your travels, you're missing out. It's, you know, it's Deschutes River and all that's happening there in Central Oregon, you know, wine and scenery, and you can ski and play golf and the same beer. The whole thing is just, it's amazing. So again, that's why I have the greatest job, is being able to get eyes on some of these places that, you know, I might not have ever seen, if I didn't have a job like this.
Yeah, I agree with all of those places. They're amazing. You can tell how passionate you are too. And I love that, and getting people into these places that they've never seen before, or even thought of going. And just thank you so much for all that you do in golf. It means so much, and always just supporting these new places and everything that you do. I can't thank you enough also for being on. I was, not going to lie, very nervous, because you're one of the best interviewers. And I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to ask him? So I hope it was okay. But again, we want to thank you for being on today. And I know all of the guys listening right now are just like super excited, because they're like, yep, Buddy's trip set for life now. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate, you know, your place in this game. What I can never do is try to pretend to know what you go through on a daily basis to continue to sort of, you know, continue to sort of grow your brand, and which is in my opinion, growing the game. And I think, you know, the more, again, going back to the start of this, the more I've learned, the more I've been able to appreciate and respect, you know, the fact that you just keep charging through all this. And so good for you for all of that. I think we need, that's why I am, you know, promote and support people like yourself, people like Riggs at Barstool. You know, it's not to say that we always agree with everything that's happening, but the point is like, I think this is the type of game that has room for all of it. Like, we can have all of it. And if you want to play private, go join a private club. If you want to play by certain rules, go join a club that plays by the rules that you want to play by. But if you want to go play public golf, like, what you need to do is just realize you're going to pay $20 and go have fun. Like, go have fun and wear a t-shirt and don't wear socks and play music and do all that stuff. And, you know, the times we're in right now and in the state of sort of the world. And, you know, yesterday we had 42 people show up at Winter Park 9 to play the Friday Skins game, was an indication to me, like, just how much we need this game, you know, and how much we should appreciate and support and grow a game that allows people to congregate, you know, at a safe distance with green space and a beautiful day, and go out and have a little healthy camaraderie. Is, you know, I walked away from yesterday going, man, I'm more impassioned to do more stuff like this than ever before.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we definitely have to have you on again with your wife, Katie, because I think so highly of you, but she's definitely your better half. So
there is no doubt about that. She is cooler, she is nicer, she's sweeter, she's more fun, she's everything. She's I can't believe I got her.
So we'll definitely have you guys both on, and thank you so much again for joining us today.
All right, take care, guys. Be safe out there, and hope to cross paths soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
PG, that was amazing.
I love Matt. He's the best.
Two really good ambassadors of the game, you and Matt.
Yeah, he always has my back, especially when I got in a little Twitter fight recently. We can talk about that. That's a good topic.
Wait, what?
Are we teasing it for next episode? I think we are.
Okay. We have a lot of things social to discuss on next week's episode, so I think we should definitely include that.
Perfect.
Tease. You're such a tease.
Am I a tease?
I mean, kind of.
She does it well.
You just did. You just teased it, right?
Kind of make money somehow, you know?
Just teach me how.
You know what we did forget, though?
What?
We forgot TNA.
We did not forget TNA. Producer Tori thought of something. Because it's a little bit of a heavier episode. There's a lot going on in this world. We're all in a state of, as you said, crisis in your text. He's flipping me off. Rude. How can we all just share little words of encouragement to everyone listening right now through this time?
Don't fight over toilet paper.
Amen.
In fact, take half your stock and go give it to someone that needs it.
Producer Tori, because it. I'm out. I just spent $20.
Another thing, too, is with all the schools canceling, a lot of kids rely on those meals. And so if you can donate food, any money, anything that you can do during this time, just don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Just be selfless. Think of others. Think of others. Wash your hands. Don't cough and sneeze.
And if you're sick, just stay inside.
Just stay inside.
Just stay inside.
Look, the whole thing about this is the more we work together, the sooner we work together, the sooner this thing will be over.
You know what the most depressing thing out of all of this is?
This could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Do you want me to really guess? No, go ahead.
No guess.
I would actually kind of want to hear you guess.
My cough strategy?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It's more depressing than that.
Oh.
Is that...
That's true.
Producer Tori is never going to find a man. Oh. I got a DM from this guy, and I said, on my way back from Florida, what'd you guys think about the coronavirus? And he DMs me, and he said, I just feel bad because producer Tori is going to be forever single. So we didn't get
the
to find
her. Accurate.
I know that seems terrible.
I feel like I kind of want to meet this guy. Playing hard to get.
Nice. Well,
I got his meeting information.
Quarantine.
Is he creepy enough?
Which we need to discuss.
We
this
will discuss
next
that
episode.
Next
oh,
episode.
More teases.
Because I made a very bad mistake to share my love of creepy men.
I can't wait.
That in the next episode because it's a doozy.
I called it. You're going to get the creep.
A doozy.
Oh,
so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode today. If you have any questions, anything, you can reach us at PAR at high. We're going to redo that because I don't know how to speak, obviously. So email us at producer Tori. Can you just do this? This is what you do.
You're making me laugh. Okay.
I can't do this.
You had it. You had it. The car was in the garage.
It's okay.
It was there. You and PG. I was so proud of
Where
you.
Where can they reach us if they have any questions?
I got you. PAR@iHeartRadio.com and follow us on Instagram. Now it's rubbing off on me. Playing Around Podcast.
Land this the plane.
This needs to end.
Land the
We're
plane.
Done. We're done.
Bye. Good job, PG.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.